Welcome to Entrepreneurship at Rowan, an official production of the award-winning Rowan Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. We cover the entrepreneurial pulse of Rowan students, faculty, and alumni. Prepare to be Rowan proud.
Welcome back to Season 4 of the Entrepreneurship at Rowan podcast. My name is Aiden Tamazian, and I am your host for this very exciting season. As you know, we get to hear from Rowan's Entrepreneurship Advisory Council, and today we are lucky enough to have Mr. Michael Parlante on the show with us. Michael is a seasoned real estate investor as well as an executive at several orthodontic product companies. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here. And it's actually not my first time in this building, but it is my first time in 2 decades, I believe.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. It's so cool to see how far Rowan's come in that amount of time. But without further ado, let's get right into it. As usual, we'll start off with our lightning round. So first up, what is your favorite movie genre?
Documentaries.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I don't even know if you consider that a movie genre, but it's the one thing that I seek out all of the time. I'm a big nonfiction guy. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know if my attention span has been reduced over the years, but sitting through movies is something that I very rarely do. There's actors that I love, but documentaries, I can sit through and really watch a documentary any day of the week.
That's really interesting. I think a lot of people would say the exact opposite, but yeah. I mean, to each their own, right? That's awesome. What is your favorite app on your phone?
Strava. Are you familiar with it?
I've heard of it, but I'm not too familiar.
So the one thing I've kept up with is running, and Strava is a pretty easy app to use that will monitor your pace and your mileage. And I like it because it's just super easy to use while you're running. So if I do stop and take a call or something like that, or stretch or do whatever I have to do, it's really easy with minimal amount of buttons to just stop it and then pick it back up. And it records it and it punches it into a couple other, it integrates with a few other apps that I use. So Strava is one that I use, and it's free.
Oh, perfect. Even better. All right. And finally, who is your favorite author or writer?
Favorite author or writer? I guess traditional writer would have to be Malcolm Gladwell. Probably read 4 of his books. Does tend to write a lot about underdogs, which I love. Autobiography, I think it's Walter Isaacson who did Steve Jobs and Ben Franklin. So I think those two come to mind.
So I usually like to start off with hearing about our guest's educational background, because I think a lot of people like to know what they should study if they want to be successful. So let's start at the beginning. What did you study in college, and what made you decide to pursue that field?
All right, so 2 parts to that answer. I did start originally at Rutgers in New Brunswick as a nutritional science major. I did realize almost immediately that it probably wasn't a good fit for me because of what you could do with that degree, unless you just continued to go on for postgraduate studies, and I wasn't doing that. Or if I wanted to move to California, or there were some alternative programs, and I wasn't doing that. So I did switch immediately. And to be frank, you know, I looked for something that was broad, that allowed me to do presentations. So I did transfer here to Rowan University, and I did public relations and advertising. And whether it still is, at that time, it had some really good directors, and we did a lot of case studies and presentations, which I liked. Speaking, I like, or maybe I didn't even like it then, but I kind of knew that I had to be good at it, and that's what drove me to it, and that's why I wound up at Rowan University.
Nice. So what type of position were you hoping to land with that field?
Yeah, so, you know, then at that time, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, one of the sexiest jobs was like being a pharmaceutical rep. That's what everybody liked to do. It seemed like it was really cool because you had expense accounts and it just seemed glamorous. And I was, I guess, you know, I didn't have tons of strengths. I wasn't exceptionally good at math or science or anything like that. But I was outgoing, and I thought that I could be good at something like that, but I had no idea how to get into it. So that was what I was trying to do. And they had an internship here, or an internship option, and I elected to do it with which it's now Jefferson, but then it was Kennedy Health Systems, because I knew coming out of college, I wasn't going to have any science background, and I wasn't going to have any outside sales experience background. So I wound up doing an internship with them, and I think I wrote for their like internal publication or external publication that showed that I could at least grasp medical terms and put it in the layman's terms for the public. And it did help. I think it did help with padding my resume and got me some interviews.
That's great. So coming from a background that's not STEM related, how was that transition to working in a science-y company?
You know, you don't know what you don't know. And I wound up getting a shot. The training was really good. I was naive, so I didn't really think about any of that. I really just thought, if I just can get an opportunity, then I'll be able to be okay. So really it was like the goal was just getting an opportunity to get a job. And I remember, you know, interviewing with tons of companies, and absolutely I realized relatively quick that I just didn't have any of the background that they were looking for. But when I wound up getting further along in the process with the first company, which was called TP Ortho, they wound up, you know, I hit it off with one of the regional managers in the third interview, and he took a shot, maybe because he saw some, you know, young kid that had some guts, and he did hire me. Their training program was really good. It was extensive. I had to spend like 2-3 weeks in LaPorte, Indiana.
Oh, wow.
But I will tell you, though, I wasn't prepared. You know, it took a good year of having conversations with oral surgeons and orthodontics before I fully understood it. So until you get that practice, you really have to have solid training, but you just don't have the hours in and the questions thrown at you until you're doing it for a good year.
Yeah, definitely. And so your first position out of college was with a company called Mid-Atlantic Ortho. How did this position come about, and what did your job entail there?
Yeah, so that was actually the second, but it was the one that wound up having the biggest impact. The first was a company called TP Ortho, which was a big orthodontic company, and Mid-Atlantic was a really small company that was out of the Philadelphia area, and I happened to meet the principal owner, who's still a good friend of mine, at some of these conferences, and sort of knew where the direction of that company could go, because it just wasn't rigid like a big, huge company with a lot of different management levels. I mean, it was small. So after 2 years of being with the big company, I did take a gamble and came on board with Mid-Atlantic Ortho. And the one great thing about that company, and I was there for 14 years, we did everything for the first 5 years to a decade. And honestly, even a lot for the last 4 years before we sold, which was a lot. I mean, not just outside sales and business development, but all of the marketing, whether we hired an outside marketing agency. We designed two pretty robust e-commerce systems, that platforms, which are really difficult to do B2B with different pricing structures. And I mean, I learned so much because it was a small company and we just did not have the different personnel to do everything, that we would hire really good outside agencies to be the teams that develop stuff for us, but we kind of had to like work side by side with them all the time. Right. So got a really sound understanding of, you know, some tech, some e-com, some marketing, in addition to, you know, a lot of biz dev and sales.
So it sounds like from very early on, you have always kept a learning mindset, first from learning about ortho to now learning about, you know, just business development in general. What was that like, taking that second big step into learning about all these different aspects of the company?
one of the biggest things you probably can do as a young person coming out of college is look at employment as not necessarily earning, but learning, right? So paid it, but I think the saying is get paid to learn, not earn. You know, I knew that I wanted to have my own companies. I knew I would probably not be taught that at a big company. And although I would probably be making a lot more if I stayed with some of those bigger companies in the long run, just because a small company can't pay you in the beginning, you know, in the long run, it really helped me to develop the skills and learn and fail a lot too. You know, it's not as big of a deal if you fail with a small company as if you did with a big company, and you just don't have the responsibilities. So there was a lot that I was able to learn from those 14 years at Mid-Atlantic Ortho that helped me create businesses along the way, that helped me, you know, meet people that could help me along the way. I mean, it was invaluable.
Now coming back to your career, something that I would assume you believe pretty strongly in, you started a company called Capsule.
Yeah.
Do you mind telling us a little bit more about Capsule and what it does?
Yeah. It was kind of interesting. I actually had braces as a kid, and then just not wearing retainers and stuff like that, I wound up having relapse, and I see orthodontists all day long. And they would always say, you should do something with you should fix that. So I wound up getting Invisalign, and this is back 2014 or 15. And I don't know if you know anything about Invisalign, but you have to wear those for 22 hours a day. And it's kind of a grind. It's easy if you're just at home because you can go into your bathroom and take them out, put them into something, go eat, brush your teeth.
Right.
So the idea was you had to make it a lot easier for somebody to keep up with hygiene while they were on the road and on the go. So we developed this. I came up with this idea because I would be in airports, right? And I'd be like fumbling around with a Ziploc bag and my toothbrush. It was nasty, man. Mm-hmm. I'd go into a bathroom at Starbucks because you can't just drink coffee put your aligners back in. So the idea was, let's have something that's really clean, sleek, dishwasher safe that holds both your aligners and also the travel toothbrush and toothpaste so that you can make it really easy on yourself, slim enough that it can fit into your pocket. And that was the idea. I had access to orthodontists to see if they would buy that for their patients. Mm-hmm. And I also was able to hunt down an industrial engineer to help me to design all of this. So that was the origin of that. We got the molds made in Shenzhen, China. And then I had to find a company that would package everything with the toothbrush and toothpaste, which I was able to locate in Buffalo. And then I had to find a company that would be able to imprint it when doctors would want their logos on it.
Right.
So they were able to do all of that, and we could just ship it right out. And we did launch. I launched that company myself, licensed it to Mid-Atlantic Ortho in 2015. So that for every unit sold, my company Capsule would get X amount. And we kept it that way for a long time until we actually sold Mid-Atlantic Ortho. Now we sell direct. We still do the same thing, but Capsule sells direct to orthodontists and dentists. And then we have an Amazon store that I sell direct to patients.
That's awesome. I was actually just going to ask if you do any direct to customers too. Yeah. So that's great. What did the process look like of, you know, any marketing or distribution other than directly to the orthodontist through your existing network? How were you able to find more customers and grow your base there?
Instagram in the beginning was awesome because you could use specific hashtags. You could find people. Well, Invisalign did a great job of direct to consumer marketing. Mm-hmm. They made it known, or their whole thing in the very beginning was marketing to adults and teens that just did not want to have braces on their teeth, right? So I would follow them. And this is back when I was doing it. I do have a team now that does it in Florida. but I would follow them and I would be able to find their patients. You know, I would be able to see because they would pay influencers that were in Invisalign,
right.
You know, attractive males and females that would show off that it's okay to have aligners. And I would be able to actually see and find these groups of people that were, wow. And then target them.
Yeah.
At that point, though, in the beginning, they couldn't buy it directly from us. So we would say, ask your orthodontist or dentist. And then we actually were able to do quite a bit with encouraging patients to encourage their dentist to buy it, in addition to using my network. So Instagram was the free, and it took some time, but that was actually how we did sort of a grassroots expansion of brand awareness.
That's amazing. Have you ever tried to partner with Invisalign or Smile Direct to sell directly to them?
We did. It wasn't something that Invisalign, well, Smile Direct wasn't even around back then. Invisalign, I spoke with their like director of hygiene. I got endorsements. That's the number one thing I had to do is, especially with orthodontists, is they'll buy from what their peers suggest. So I was lucky enough to get a handful of Invisalign KOLs and people that speak for that group to recommend it and be in some of the ads. And that really helped to accelerate the adoption of it.
Awesome. And so around this same time, you started working at a company called Dynaflex. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
We actually sold Mid-Atlantic Ortho to Dynaflex.
Got it.
Yep. Yeah. So Dynaflex is a much larger orthodontic company out of St. Louis. Now, when we first sold the company, I did not take a position with them. I took was considered a consultative position with them for a period of a year because it really happened very quickly. We were at a point where we definitely needed to sell. The principal owner, Tony, was getting a little bit older. He had a couple things that were happening. There was just a number of reasons. But it was great that there was this other partner that was interested in it. And we had a good book of business that they were encouraged to absorb. Mm-hmm. And because I was involved with a lot of the business development and the sales, they thought it was important that I would come along at least for help in to that transition.
Right.
It was a feeling out period. The CEO there is a guy named Darren, and he's awesome. And he's the one reason why I decided to stay in. Because, again, there is a big shift with the industry in regards to technology and software and the way that diagnosing and treatment planning is happening. And AI is having such a major impact and will for like the next 3 or 4 years. We have 4 business units. And I'm really allowed to work on some of the most important projects that I can learn a lot from, but also implement like big change into right. the industry. So I've been there now. I did sign a contract with them in 2020, right around, you know, COVID time. And I'm happy I did because there's still a lot I think I can contribute to the industry. And the CEO is awesome, dude. I just like being involved with them.
That's great. So what does your current role look like with them?
Yeah, so it's North American Business Director. Work a lot with the creative director there in regards to what the marketing strategy will be. Heavily involved with KOLs, the orthodontists that are involved and speak for us for our CE, mm-hmm. and developing those programs, whether they're national or international. And then products and product launches I'm heavily involved in. And then I also work with strategic accounts just because, just like every other industry, there's been a lot of change. So doctors may not be the business owners anymore. They might be owned by venture capital, but they're still heavily involved. And it's hard to navigate that buying process if you don't know who the players are. And orthodontics is small. So I still know a lot of the doctors that are involved, they may even be the founders of some of these big, larger groups. So I'm still working with them and putting together like purchasing agreements and still involved in that sales aspect.
That's great. So would you say you enjoy more of this higher up role where you're maybe not as directly involved with the sales end, or did you like being more in the field and working directly with all the customers?
Nah, this is perfect for me, you know, because I still have a chance to get out there and do stuff. And I'll sometimes, like, I'm going to ride with the New York City rep next week for a day or two and meet some clients. I like having a finger on the pulse. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a small industry, it's so different everywhere you go. So I can still dip in and dip out when it makes sense. But I do like strategy and I do like creativity and working with the creative director department.
One question that I have in regards to your career, obviously you've done quite a lot and had multiple things going on all at once. How were you able to balance working on so many intensive projects and roles at the same time?
Well, I have an amazing wife. We have two boys. I have an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old. She has been home since my first one was born.
Wow. Okay.
So that's allowed me to concentrate and focus on a lot of the other stuff that helps us, you know, live this, I guess, this type of life. Mm-hmm. That's one part of it. The other part of it is compartmentalizing as much as you possibly can. The routines and habits that I developed early on have helped, you know, good sleep schedule, waking up early, exercising, you know, trying to, you know, I like to have drinks, but trying to, you know, minimize that as much as possible and eating well. So those things I think play a big part in how productive and how you think. And there's simple things that you can do, you know, that you can change and add healthy habits to your life that'll make you run on a much tighter schedule.
You've been very gracious enough to volunteer your time and energy to serve as a member of Rowan's Entrepreneurship Advisory Council. How did you first get involved in this position?
Joe reached out to me, and I guess he had an email of alumni and asked, and I didn't know what it was. And I'm trying to, when he asked, I think I came in and spoke with him and Dr. Eric, found out a little bit about it and said, I'd be happy to. And that's some of the cool things, you know, even though I have a W-2, you know, I live in, you know, a handful of quadrants, but I have the ability to have a more flexible schedule, you know, so marking off Fridays, unless I'm not in the area, is not that hard to do, being available. And I think it's really important to work with students. I would say 2019 was when I got involved, and I'm happy I did.
And what has been your favorite part about being an EAC member so far?
I really enjoy listening to the different ideas that these students come up with. Selfishly, I think I'm getting just as much out of it as the students are getting it and anything from me, you know, so sometimes I wonder what I can do and if I can do more, but I think things will click sooner or later. And I'd like to always make sure that they have my contact information. I think there's a lot of synergy with the ideas that they have. I do have some experience in a handful of different areas, whether it's the patent process or starting an Amazon store, and they can learn from some of the failures that I've had. But in regards to what I get out of it, I love coming on a Friday and hearing some of the things that they're working on, and it gets me energized.
That's great. And we're so glad that you enjoy it, because, you know, we get so much out of it as well. As we wrap up here, if you had one piece of advice for young students or entrepreneurs that are looking to have your level of success one day, what would you tell them?
Fail as much as you can, because if that's the case, that means that you're trying a bunch of new things.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming out today, for being on the show. This was an amazing episode, and I'm sure our listeners are going to absolutely love it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Aiden.
Thank you for listening. Rowan is proud to be an official knowledge hub of the International Council for Small Business. Our AACSB award-winning entrepreneurship programs challenge students to solve real problems in bold and impactful ways. If you're interested in supporting entrepreneurship at Rowan, or want to get more involved by hiring an intern, speaking to a class, or being featured as a case study, contact us at rcie@rowan.edu.